Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Happy Thanksgiving to every one of you, each and every one of you. I wish you a happy Thanksgiving. So, are you full? Have you ate a lot? What did you do today? I hope that you spent time with family today. Well-deserved time, time that was needed. Maybe you've procrastinated all throughout the year of getting together and just facing each other and to break bread. But hopefully on today that, you know, like every day we give Thanksgiving in some ways and our words and our actions and who we fellowship with. And on today we just kind of make it a big festivity. We get more family. We get those people flying into town, or we just get family that we haven't maybe had the chance to break bread with, just to say, you know what, let me just say a little bit about the things that I'm thankful for. A little bit about the things that are new in my life that you may not know that God has done for me. It's just a little time that we just get together and just together we share in the love of God. Together we share how good that he is, of his mercies, and how tender he is with each and every one of us, how patient he is with each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Can you just verify just to somebody that God is good? And not just sometimes, but all of the time. He is a good God. And it's just a blessing to just be in the land of the living. It really is. I don't care what you're going through. When we look at it, we still have to recognize that we are blessed. We are truly blessed to be in the land of the living. Well, you know, just like when we actually prepare those meals and to get together in this family setting, it does cost us something. It costs us something to get ourselves ready, to prepare ourselves. And that's what we're talking about as we continue our series today of finding comfort in troubled times. For Christians, for us, sisters and brothers in faith, for the saints. Hallelujah. So we're going to go into prayer and invite God to come in and just speak his word to our minds, our spirits, our souls. And then we're going to read our scripture tonight from 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to start at verse 47. So let's bow our heads together as we go into thanksgiving for the Lord and send out the invitation for him to come and dwell inside of this meeting tonight. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. We invite you to come and be in the midst of our meeting. Teach us your word. Dear Father, we just love you. We just want to love on you, and we thank you for loving on us. You are so worthy of all of the praise. And, dear Father, I have so much to be thankful for. I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for my life. I thank you for my kids and grandkids. I thank you, dear Father, for my sisters and brothers. I thank you for my mother and her strength and health. I thank you for homes and materialistic things, but beyond all, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. I just thank you that he loved us enough to die for us. Even before we knew anything about you, Jesus, you were there for us. And you break the gap that separated us from our Father, which is sin. And I just thank you, Jesus, again, for just loving us enough to die for us. Now may we decrease, and we ask you to come and just overpower our minds as we open up our hearts to receive your word. May we do the word as it is taught to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Verse 47 of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament teaches us that the man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. And so we're speaking of Adam, and we're speaking of Jesus, precious Lord. Verse 48 reads, as was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. As is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have bore like the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. We will not all sleep,
But we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will raise imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of God is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor, if the Lord, is not in vain. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the word. Said we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Amen? So it costs something to do almost anything in life that we're looking to do, and we're going to be successful at it. You know, we sing, I want to be like Jesus. But do we really mean it? Do we really want God to have his way in our life as we're trying to find that comfort that we're looking for as Christians? We sing a lot of things, but I wonder, do we really take out time and ask the praise worshipers is teaching us the songs, and do we really take out time, though, to learn what it really means? Do we ask God, dear Father, to define this song to me the way that you would want me to present it back to you as worship and praise? And then we should stop and think. So do we really want God to have his way in our life? Because, see, it calls to be like Jesus. Most of us just want the result without being willing to pay the price. You're inviting, when you're saying you want to be like Jesus, you are inviting chastity. You're going to be chastised. You're inviting corrections. God is going to correct you. You're going to invite pressure and remolding when you ask to be Christ-like. Do you really want to be Christ-like? Now, if you mean it, that you really want to be Christ-like, then we as Christians, we should stop and reevaluate the words that we say when we pray. Because if we mean it, then we need to quit praying for an easy life with all the burdens and all hindrance and disappointments removed. But honestly, pray, God have thine own way. See, knowing that this is his will for us, that we will submit to him, whatever he does is according to his purpose. See, when we go into it with our mind saying his purpose is that we might daily become more like him. See, if you learn the secret right there, that his purpose, it's in his will. His purpose is that we might each day get shaped more to become more like him, to look more like him, to be identified with him. You ever saw a parent and you look at that child and you look at that parent and you said, whoa, they's just that's a chip off of the old block. You can tell that's mom and dad. To those little kids, they look just like both of them. Or she looks like mom, he looks like dad. That's God's purpose, is that daily we might become more like him. We will be identified. We don't have to run around and tell nobody who we're representing, who our Father is. But our lives will look more like his. Our temperament will be in order with him. Our obedience will be more like him. And if you learn the secret, You can praise God at all times, in all places of your life, under any circumstance. If you learn this lesson, then you can meet every condition and every event in your life with a praise to the Lord. God sent it, so it must be good for me. Oh, the joy of knowing that I'm in God's hands. That's a joy. Oh, the joy of just knowing that I'm in God's hands. That means my life, my destiny, my possession, my family, my all. I'm in God's hands. And with this, I can surrender to his will. And then there's a calmness and victory that does not depend upon any outward surroundings. Calmness that is based on the blessed assurance that, what have we been saying? His word, God works together for good. God works together for good. We talked about the all things work together for good. And we broke it all down. I encourage you to go back through the archive and look through the different record, download the other broadcasts so you can match them all together. And we know that when he said all things, he means all things. So it's all the experiences that you go through in life, all together. They work together, and that's when they produce goodness. Something good comes out of it. The good things, the bad things, the things that was in the middle, the days that you wasn't feeling good, the days that you were, the days that you didn't like the assignment that he gave you, the days that you joyfully accepted. All of those things will work together for good. And as we celebrate a Thanksgiving today, we'll look back on the example that I gave. If you sat down and just ate a whole bowl of sugar, that would not be a meal that you would be looking forward to. Sugar by itself, just eating it like that, is not something that you're going to look forward to. Nor would you want to eat a bowl of flour, just plain flour, and sit there and just eat the flour. And not too many people want to just sit there and just crack open an egg and just eat the egg whites. But together, if you put those three ingredients together, together, when you mix them together, together, they can produce a beautiful pound cake, a beautiful cake, flavor, fluffiness, texture, because they work together. And that's the experiences in your life, and that's what it does. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. God can mightily use us. As Christians, we're proclaiming Christians. That's who we're speaking to. He can use us when we stay cool, even though you're in those hot places right now. Something's going on in your job, and it's got you meeting and meeting, and you don't know if you're going to lose your job or you're going to be able to keep it. You're in a hot space right now. So stay cool. Even though it may be a situation that's going on that is very sour right now, God is dependent on you to continue to stay in his word. And he said, taste and see that the word is good. So if the word is good, even though you're in a sour place, you need to stay sweet. Stay sweet. You never know who you need to minister to around you. Forget your titles. I don't care what your titles are that leads before your name or after your name. Forget the reverend and anything that jumps out at you. And just open your heart to stay sweet, to be ready for God. Because he's still wanting to use you, even though you say that today I don't feel like being used. God can use you. He is expecting you to stay big in a crushing place. It can be that those all around you is trying to scrutinize your name, but you just stand strong. Stay big. And then, you know, sometimes we get these titles before us, and we feel like we're in this huge, big place. Or we're, you know, sometimes we'll perform in big places, but we got to stay humble. We must stay small. Stay little. Our spirit's got to be still connected and open to God. Don't get all caught up that you are this and that. Don't forget that you can get so big that God can't even use you anymore. then you need to stay small in those big places. You know, they threw Paul in prison. But out of that dungeon came some of his most precious epistles. I'm so glad personally that Paul did not pray for God to open up those jail doors, as he did on another occasion. But I can well imagine that Paul submitted to the will of God. God, you called me to preach, and I cannot do any preaching in this prison, but if this is where you want me to be, then it is exactly where I want to be. See, submitting to God, to his will, spirit to spirit. If this is where you want me to be, then that's where I want to be. I'm sure when he was called by God, he said, you called me to preach. I knew I was going to be here, and there. And so many times as preachers and leaders and teachers and apostles and bishops, whatever title you want to hold over you, you know, we're there to be there for God, and we're his hands and we're his feet, and he wants none to perish. And this lost sheep over here, he said, go after my sheep. Take your hook, pull them back in with my word. Pull them back in with my spirit. And sometimes we get caught up and we want to pull them in the way that we want to. We let flesh determine who we're going to save. Well, you know what, they're just lost. We're going to shake the dust. But God haven't told you to shake the dust nor move on. We got to listen to the word of God. So Paul, I'm so glad that he had a submissive spirit on this occasion. Hallelujah. They banished John. They banished John to Patmos. And from his exile came the revelations. And we know, had John been like most of us, he no doubt would have complained about, against God, complained about his situation. Can you just hear him crying out if he had been like us? You know, why did this happen to me? What have I done to deserve such treatment? God sent a rescue ship. When are you going to rescue me? Why rescue me? Why am I here? I don't have time to be here by myself. You know, can you just hear all the different things that we use to complain about? But are you not glad that John submitted to the will of God? I know that I am, because much of what we know about the future, about our heavenly home, we learn from the revelations. They murdered Stephen, but out of his death came the conviction of Saul of Tarsus. They threw John Bynum in jail, and out of the jail came the Pilgrim's Progress. So are you willing? We pray, and then sometimes we complain because God has answered our prayers. Have you ever prayed, God, increase my faith, and then you complain because of the hard change of the event that God sent? How do you expect God to answer that prayer? God, increase my faith. I know of no way except that he sends some hard trials or some crushing experiences where our faith is taxed to the very limit. Then he gives us more faith. Have you ever prayed, Lord, keep me humble? Did you expect God to just wave a magic wand over you and what, just make a giant ball of humility just instantly appear? No. It doesn't happen that way. God sent some humiliating experiencing and thus answered your prayers. Or maybe we pray, God, draw me near. Yeah, that's something that you hear, right? We pray, God, draw me near. And then in the answer, he sent some sorrow or some heartache that drives us to our knees to pray and to his word for guidance. And we pray, make me pure. And then he sends the testing of purifying fire. Or we may pray, give me patience. And ha, 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 everything seems to go wrong. From tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation worketh patience. So we pray, and then we start to complain when God answers our prayers. God save my children. He may save them by taking them home. And then again, we're complaining because he's answering our prayers. I come to remind you to quit praying for an easy life. And just yield once and for all right now. Just yield to the Lord. Yield to his will. Knowing that his eternal purpose is that you might be conformed to the image of his son. Just yield to the Lord. I start to remove that complaining spirit. And you start working on it right now. And then through faith, we can just look to the time when the work shall be completed in us. When we will look like his son, we will have that image. We will begin to grow. And we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. 1 Corinthians 15:47-49. We went through a little bit tonight, and it said again, as we have bore the image of the earthly, which is Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, which is Christ. We shall bear the image of the heavenly. Sometimes we spend so much time looking for the pursuit of happiness that we just think that, you know, we pray, God, just I just want to be happy. The pursuit of happiness is everyone's inherited right. You have inherited the right to be happy. But the right in itself does not guarantee the reality. Hear me from the Spirit. The fact remains that there are many people who have pursued happiness for many years and never come up with it. Why? God wants us to be happy. He does. He's made abundant provision for our happiness regardless of our circumstances. He has. Perhaps the problem lies in contentment. To be happy, we must be content, satisfied with everything we have and experience in life, satisfied with the different obstacles that we have to go through or around or over or under. That, too, is possible. See, a careful study of Psalms 37:1-11 will start to unlock the blessed truth that you can be happy. Again, it's Psalms 37:1-11. It unlocks the blessed truth that you can be happy. Hallelujah. Do you have everything in your heart that you desire? No. Why not? God wants you to have it. Is it possible? Four says, he shall give thee the desires of thy. See, there's a secret. Master it, and you can have everything your heart desires. This is true. Everything that your heart desires. But still, there's never been a time of more frustration mentally and physically, cracked up, broken homes, crime, greed, than we have today. There's never been more disturbance going on in the world than it is right now today. The root of most of it is just discontentment. Discontentment. You've got to be contented. Grasping for something or striving for something beyond our ability, conveying something beyond our means, or even wishing for something that's beyond the will of God will lead to discontentment. Never have we had so much, and never have we been less satisfied. We see someone else with something else that looks a little bit better, and we just plunge into a mad scramble to try to get that item that we saw somebody else with. And we want to get it now. We don't want to save and work for it. We want it now. It seems that men have become obsessed with the idea that happiness can be secured with things. I want more things. God warns us in Luke 12:15. He said, life consisteth not in the abundance of things which a man possesseth. I don't care how much you buy, how much you try to outdo the next one, and you think that it's only going to be a temporal high. You just watch it yourself. A month from now, 2 months from now, you're going to have to buy something else. That's not going to do it. You thought this thing right here was going to be the thing. It's not going to do it. Again, Luke 12:15. Life consists of not in the abundance of things which a man possesses. So we're a gadget-conscious generation. We have more things than they have had in any other age. Yet perhaps we have less real contentment. The more things we possess, the more time we have, and consequently more frustration results out of it. We just can't be happy right now. We can't find contentment. So right now, just find, in many ways, just cannot find our true happiness and contentment as long as there is unfulfillment desires. You got unfulfilled desires, you're not going to be happy. And for the Christian, it's possible to have everything his heart desires, contentment. If you're not content, there is no reason. You either want the wrong things or you want more than God wants you to have. That's a good one. We have developed this false idea of happiness, and we try to push it on them. You know, it was a story about a woman who was sick, and the lady was in the hospital, and she was desperately ill. She had been ill a long time, and it seemed that progress was slow. And she said one day to her family, she said, if I could just be well, then I would be the happiest woman in the world. See, that was her idea of happiness. But there are many healthy people who are not happy. I've known invalids who were perfectly happy and content. And then there's the story about a bright little fellow that was in an orthopedic ward in a hospital, and he stood wistfully out of the window. As he looked out the window, he could see children playing in the street. And he just said to the doctor, if I could just walk, I'll be the happiest boy in the world. But see, you and I can walk. But that doesn't bring many of us happiness. Or a blind woman, she had undergone surgery on her eyes, and the outcome of the operation had not been determined. And as the doctor slowly unwound the bandages and suspended the mouth, she exclaimed that if I can just see, I'll just be happy. I'll be so happy. But my question tonight is, physical sight the foundation for happiness? The man who jumped off of the San Francisco Bridge not too long ago. One day he could see. He wasn't blind. He could walk. That didn't bring him his happiness. But apparently his sight did not bring him the contentment or the happiness that he needed. So he decided to end his life. I talked with a man who had lost his job, and his little savings account had vanished, and bills were mounting high, and his family began to be in want. And as he stated his problem, he said, if I just had a little money, just enough to purchase the necessities of life, then I would be happy. But is money the secret of happiness? Many of the richest people are among the most miserable people. Not all, but many. Perhaps the rich spend more with the psychiatrists than others do. And if the psychiatrists are getting wealthy, you want to make some money, really have the heart for that field and go into it. Because the people with the most money are the ones who are depending and living with the psychiatrist number on their speed dial, trying to find contentment. All of their things have still not happened. The unemployed man said, if I just had a job, I'll be happy. But is work the secret of our happiness? Most people have jobs, But it's not, it has not brought them contentment. They're still complaining even about the job that they have. Amen? Single people. I've heard single people say, if I just had a husband, if I just had a wife, I'll be happy. And apparently this is not the secret of happiness. Because there's thousands and thousands of women who do not have husbands and vice versa. But if the judge would grant a release from a marriage, it would bring happiness. Thousands and thousands of them seem to think, I'm trying to get rid of what you're praying for. It didn't bring me happy. There are many husbands who would like to be separated from their wives. So does marriage in itself assure happiness? There are many married couples right now today that can't stay a full year in the same home together. Does that bring them happiness? So marriage is not answer, is not the answer that will bring you happiness. So the general idea as we come to our close seems to be that happiness consists of getting what we do not have. Is that right? This is the foundation of the problem of discontentment, frustration, and unhappiness. Wanting more than we have, whether it be money, possession, position, health, or achievement. Amen? Amen. There's only one possible solution and only one way to be happy and content. And that is to have everything your heart desires. Let me repeat it. It is possible, God said. He shall bring it to pass. You see, the secret is in what you desire. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now approach the problem this way. First, realize that God the Father loves you. And he wants the very best for you because you belong to him. Just like a milk company has contented cows, because they see contented cows give more and better milk. God wants contented children because contented children produce more and better fruit for his glory. Second, remember that God deals with the future. We usually think only of the present. Let's read that again. It does not say he will give you everything you desire, but he will give you the desires of your heart. So your foolish heart might desire something that would harm you, and he loves you too much to permit that. He's not going to permit that. You wouldn't permit that with your children. Your foolish heart might desire something that would ruin your life, but his wisdom cannot grant you such a request. Are you hearing me from the heart? Even your carnal heart might desire something that would wreck your spiritual life and hinder your growth with the Lord. And his love will not permit that. See, your greedy heart might desire something that would make you a spiritual pauper. But his heavenly Father, my heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, his heart did not allow it. Your self-centered heart might desire something that would break your fellowship with him, and his perfect love cannot grant it. And then your blind heart might desire something for the present that would be a curse to you in the future. He who sees the end from the beginning must say no to that request, to that desire. So when you do not have what we desire, there's something wrong with our desires. It's not something wrong with his answer, but it's something wrong with our desires. So let me repeat that. When we do not have what we desire, there is something wrong with our desires. We need to check our desires. What am I desiring? We ask for things that would harm us. And he promises in Psalms 84:11 that no good thing will be withheld. So if it's not coming to us, it's because it's not a good thing. Because he said, no good thing will be withheld. That is true. But still, if we are to be content, we must have everything we desire that is good in God's will. We're going to go over the key, and we're going to end up the forecast for a conference for troubled Christians. We will be ending on tomorrow night. But, you know, tonight, before we close our show, someone may say, I'm not for sure how to reach this God. I'm not for sure how to get in contact. I've lost my way, or I haven't been brought up or been taught about the Lord. This is my first time hearing about this minister. Can you reach out and give me some information? First, I want to remind you that you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. My name is Mrs. Devon, and I'll be more than happy to help you in any way that I can in your Christian walk and to help you with any literature that will get you started on your walk with God. But to get started, if you have not accepted the Lord Savior, our Savior, as your Savior, I just want you to just open up your heart and repeat the words after me and believe what it is that you're going to say. And then if you do that, you will be a new creature in Christ. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me, Jesus. And I just want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Amen. If you just prayed this prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ, as the 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things have passed away. Now behold, all things are become new. Now it might be some things that's going on in your life right now that you're still having to pay for in the present for what you did in the past. But God has given you a clean slate. You continue to work off whatever it is that you're working off that your past have. Because we do have to pay for those sins. But God wants you to know, starting right now, your slate is clean before God. You have a whole new life with Jesus to look forward to. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice and his love for you. So please let me know your decision to follow Christ. Hallelujah. Again, you can reach us at walkwithmegod@aol.com. This is your host, Minister Vaughn Dillon. I'm coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. And this broadcast believes that God is a true God. His word is always true. So we love you here, and we want to help you on your Christian walk. But remember, 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 the most important thing, Christ is thinking about you. And he wants to shine brightly in your life. So until the next broadcast, just remind yourself, what am I desiring tonight? He will do what he says. We'll see you next broadcast. We love you here. Again, happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.